Amen. Would you all join me in prayer this morning? Father, thank you so much for drawing us near in worship. Would you continue to speak to our hearts? Open up your word before us, and may the truth, Lord, stick home and drive home and challenge and convict us this morning. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be here today. We look forward now to what you're going to continue to do in and through us. And God, would you just make yourself real in these moments, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for allowing me to be here this morning, choir. Thank you so much for what you have already done in drawing us closer and closer to the throne of grace this morning. I invite you now to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Colossians. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, the first about 3 or 4 verses 9 through 12 this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. As you're turning there, I want to share a little story with you this morning. Happened when I was 18 years old. Embarrassing story from my life, but I hope you'll get something out of it. It was only supposed to be for 15 minutes. 15 minutes. And surely, anybody can get through 15 minutes. See, my mom kept children in our home, and I was home for my freshman year of college. She had to go to the doctor's office, and it was going to be a 15-minute window between the time she left and the time the children's moms arrived home. And she had had kids in our house since I was 10 years old, so I was used to being around children. Had kept kids all my life, so 15 minutes, no problem, right? On top of that, all of the kids were asleep. 5 little toddlers asleep. I could handle 15 minutes of sleeping babies. No problem. Mom, you go to the doctor. I got this. Well, no sooner had my mom's taillights left the driveway than I heard baby number one start to cry. I panicked. I ran back to the back room to try to get baby number one before baby number two could wake up. Of course, you know what happened. That's not going to happen. By the time I got to the back room, not only was one baby awake, all 5 babies were awake. As soon as I entered the room, the smell hit me like a brick wall. It was awful. I tried to get to baby number one to see if I could find the source of the smell, and it was so bad, it turns out it was not one baby. It was all 5 babies. So here I was, an 18-year-old, trying to get through 15 minutes, and I spent the entire 15 minutes changing 5 babies, and it was bad. If you could picture whatever the worst diaper is you've ever changed, as an 18-year-old, I had 5 of those all at once. Well, I finally made it through. I changed all 5 of these kids, and I got them into the den, and it took the entire 15 minutes, and it was time for the parents to arrive. The door was left open, and through the screen, baby number one was able to see Mom drive into the driveway, and Nathan jumped up, and all of a sudden, I noticed something very odd. Nathan walked, kind of legs pinched together, and made his way to the door, and I knew something was not right. Obviously, that diaper was on way too tight. Well, baby number two, Amanda, sees Mom driving the driveway right behind Nathan's mom. Amanda jumps up, but the diaper did not. Something here is going terribly, terribly wrong. Well, by the time those two moms get in and they see what's happening, I think they were laying on the floor laughing at me. But they helped me get their 2 kids straight, and they helped me get the other 3 kids straight. Those kids had jumped up, but they were so scared at what happened at the first 2. They were holding on to their diapers. It was terrible. I tell you that story today to tell you this. I saw something was wrong. I knew something was wrong, and I wanted to help. Matter of fact, I had seen what had taken place before. I had been trained on how to help before. I had changed diapers before. But in that moment, I really just had a hard time helping. Have you ever had times in your life where you saw a need and you even wanted to help? You knew you should help, but you just really didn't know how to help. Here we sit on a Sunday morning, and all of us in this room, I can assure you, know that we ought to be praying for one another, right? We know we ought to be praying for other believers, but how many times have you been called on to pray in public, and all of a sudden you went, I don't know how to pray, or I don't want to pray? I tell you this, if we examine our prayer life, what I think we will find is we are really good at praying for sickness, hurt, pain. When bad things happen, we're good at that, right? Somebody's sick, somebody's hurt. We can pray for those things. But as we examine the prayers throughout scriptures, What we'll find is there aren't many of those kind of prayers in the Bible. That's really not what we are called to pray on a regular basis for one another. Those things come natural, and those are the easy things to pray for. But we are called to pray much more than that for the person sitting beside you. If we are going to be everything that God wants us to be as a church, we are called to pray much more than that for one another. So here's what I want to do today. As a church, I want to equip us to do better than that. So that when the door opens in the back and we jump up to leave, the diaper doesn't fall off. Okay? I invite you to look with me. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. And let's see what we can do about praying for one another in a way that truly equips the church. As I read these verses, let's remember, Paul is writing from a prison cell. What is he writing about how to pray? Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. Paul writes, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." So as we go through these verses, think about two things with me. Number one, boy, wouldn't it be nice to have somebody praying this for you? And then number two, pick out two, three, five people right here around you that over the course of the next week, the next month, you can pray these things for. Leaders in your church, deacons, Sunday school teacher, choir leaders, the person sitting to your right, your left, in front of you, behind you. Be thinking through these things. Who can I pray this for? And I will guarantee you, in the next week, month, 6 months, this will change your life. It will change your church's life. Number one. "For this reason also," what did he pray? "Since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you." And what did he pray? "To ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." What are we to pray for one another as believers? Number one, pray that they might know God's will. Do you want to know God's will? Well, I think we all do. "Lord, show me Your will." Well, we want to know it. Well, man, pray that for each other. God, today, show them Your will in every situation, in everything that they're going through. Show them Your will. We know we're supposed to pray for each other. That should be without saying. What is Paul doing? Where is he writing from? He's writing from a jail cell. What would Tom have done if he's praying from a jail cell? What's my first prayer? "God, get me out of here." That's not what Paul's praying. Now, he might have prayed that in his private time, but he sure didn't pray that in his public time. What did he pray? Not "get me out of here," not "God, help these jailers to be nicer to me," "God, give me better food," none of that stuff. He's praying for other people. He's praying things about God, strengthen them, help them to know Your will, grow them in their faith. That's what we need to be praying for each other. He said, "God, would You fill them with an understanding of the knowledge of Your will." He said, "fill them." The word "fill" is plerao in the Greek. It means fill them to overflowing. Look at the ditches right now. That gives us a picture of what fill means. Fill to overflowing. It's used only a couple times in the New Testament. One of those times is when the disciples' hearts are talked about being filled to overflowing when Jesus said He was leaving. They were filled with sorrow. They weren't just like, Jesus is leaving, oh well. They were brokenhearted. They were so upset. Another time is used of the disciples' hearts again when it's talked about when the Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost. They didn't get just a little bit of the Holy Spirit. They got all of Him. And they were so full of the Holy Spirit, it spilled out. He spilled out everywhere, and everybody knew it. That's the kind of way you and I are to pray for each other, that we would be so filled. Filled with what? Here it says, filled with the knowledge of His will. What kind of knowledge is that? Not just kind of knowing about God, kind of knowing about God's will, but an intimate, deep, personal knowledge of God. I see people around who've been married a little bit, people who've been married a long time. I've been married 20 years. And I'll tell you, the difference between my understanding of my wife now versus when I first started dating is very different. When you first start dating, what kind of questions do you ask? Well, how many siblings do you have? Where did you grow up? What's your favorite food? What's your favorite color? You start having very surface level knowledge of this person. But the longer you go, the more you begin to understand who this person is. You start understanding their likes, their dislikes. You start understanding what makes them happy and sad. And the longer you go, you can start figuring out what actually you can figure out how to, what makes them mad. If you want to, you can press the right buttons. You start understanding how they react in certain situations. And your knowledge becomes much, much deeper and much, much greater. What he's saying here is that's the way you pray for each other about understanding God's will that way. We are not to be toddlers in the understanding of God's will. We should grow in the understanding of God's will as we go along. We need to pray that for one another. Certainly, wouldn't you like someone to pray that for you? Filled with the knowledge of the understanding of God's will. Listen, Satan always goes after the mind, and we need to pray for that person's mind around you. We live in a day where we are attacked more than ever in the battlefield of the mind. There are images thrown at us everywhere that we go. And we need to pray for each other that God would protect that person's mind. Two ways he says to do that. He says we need to pray for wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is Sophia. Understanding is Sunesis. We need to pray, first of all, for wisdom. That is Sophia. It is the discerning faculty, that is cleverness and skill. It's the right application of knowledge. And did you know it's possible to be a walking Bible encyclopedia, to understand everything maybe there is to know about the Bible, but totally incapable of applying the Bible? We need to pray for each other. Not only do we know what's in it and facts about God, but how to live it out on a daily basis. Pray that for each other. The second word, understanding, is synesis. It relates to the ability to discriminate, the ability to look at things critically, objectively, to be able to discern right from wrong and true from false. We need both of those things, wisdom and understanding. Pray that for one another. So how do we develop that kind of knowledge? Well, the same way you did with your spouse. How did you go from what's your favorite color to understanding how they're going to react in a certain situation? You spend time together. Why would you spend time together? Well, because you love that person. Pray for this person that they would just fall deeply, madly in love with God. And that they would want to spend time with Him. Spend time with Him, with His Word, and with His people. All of those things are necessary. Quiet time is critical. If we are going to grow in relationship with God, then you pray for their quiet time. Listen, in this day and age where we are so busy, busier now than I think we've ever been before, I talk to more people now who are retired and say, I'm busier now in retirement than I ever was when I went to work. We need to pray for each other that we will carve out time in our day to spend time with God. And pray for that person that the quiet time is actually quiet. Turn off the TV. Turn off the internet. Turn off everything. And even if you just have to go hide in the bathroom, shut the world out and spend time with God. Pray for that person. Listen, if it's a young mom, man, that's tough when the kids are little. Because as soon as you go into the bathroom, mom, pray for that person that God will get them alone and they will have a peaceful, quiet time with Him. That's how we grow with Him. Next, what else do we pray besides that they might know His will? Verses 10 through 12, that they might live to please God. That's a tough one, man. Verse 10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Man, that intimidates me. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, really? Does that not bother y'all? That we would walk worthy of Him. God is going to look down at my life and go, yep, He's worthy of me. Number one, it intimidates me. But number two, it also gives me great hope because God's not going to put something in His Word that He's not going to also give us the strength and the ability to do. Isn't that awesome? That we can walk worthy of the Lord. So look, you need to pray that for each other. God, today, when he gets up and his feet hit the floor and he goes to work, when he goes to the grocery store, when he goes about his business, help him to walk worthy of you. Wouldn't you like somebody praying that for you tomorrow? God, give them the strength to walk worthy of you. People are watching you every day. Some of those people are hoping that you succeed and that you do well. Some of those people are hoping that you trip on yourself and that you make a mess of your life so they can go, see, I told you so. We need to pray for each other that there's no room for the I told you so's. Pray that they will walk worthy of the Lord. And the word for walk worthy is in the tense aorist. It means that we are to set out and be intentional about it. Not just hope I make it through the day and I look back and go, man, today I walked worthy. Whew, got through that one. No, we are to set out on purpose and do things that are worthy of God. That we make decisions. That we react properly. That we speak properly. That we have the right attitudes. We're to do this on purpose. Pray for one another that we would do that. The good news is, every day can be a fresh start. Isn't that awesome? God gives us the ability and the privilege of doing it. And guess what? Right now, maybe we're sitting here and we are feeling awful convicted. And we're thinking, you know what? I put the diaper on too tight. And I put it on too tight every day. Tomorrow, you don't have to. Tomorrow is a brand new beginning. And we can, in just a minute, we're going to sing a song. And the altar is open, and you can come up to this altar and say, God, man, I've been messing up over and over and over. But would you give me a new start? Would you give me a new chance? And we serve a God of fresh starts and fresh beginnings. And the choir just sang about it just a minute ago. He is so good. And every day is a new beginning. And we can walk out of this place absolutely forgiven and with a new clean heart and new fresh slate. And God will lead us through a new opportunity. Man, what a God. Pray for each other that we might live to please God. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. The next is fully pleasing Him. In the same idea, that's both intimidating and thrilling. Fully pleasing Him. I used to coach T-ball. One of my favorite things was when a little kid would do something amazing, get a hit, and I would glance up in the stands and watch that proud mom and dad, big old smile on the face, start nudging people going, that's my boy, that's my girl. Can you imagine what it's like in heaven? We do something right. We react the right way. We have the right attitude. We do something kind, gentle, loving, and all of a sudden God reaches over and he nudges Jesus and says, did you see that? Did you see that? That's my boy. Did you see what she just did? That's my girl. We have the ability to do that. Not in our own power and our own strength, but when we live out the fruit of the Spirit in His power, that's what we're to pray for each other. That God would live out, we would live out His power and His strength. Pray that for one another. Fully pleasing God. We don't bear fruit to try to please God. We bear fruit because of what He's already done in us. What a good God. All of that goes back to our time with Him. It goes back to our Bible study. We don't get to know God more just because we hope to. It's a process, and it's intentional. Do you have one of these? Might be on your phone. Might be an actual book. But do you open it? Does you no good if it's just sitting in the corner? If the God of heaven, as we believe, like we're Baptists, right? We believe it cover to cover. That's what we say. If He actually took time to write it down for us, the Creator God gave us His Word in writing. If we believe that, have you read it? Do you read it on a regular basis? Do you think about the fact that Creator God wrote this? These are not just the ramblings of a man. We need to pray for each other that it would mean something to us. We would spend time in it. We think about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Do those kind of things characterize us? Did a funeral yesterday for a sweet little 93-year-old lady. one of the most wonderful ladies I've ever met. And as I thought about the sum whole of what I knew of her life, I really was unable to come up with anything other than through the Spirit. That's just what Miss Hazel means to me, through the Spirit. Particularly love and joy. That's what I know of her. Never saw her when she wasn't smiling. Even when she was hurting, she was smiling. And then I thought, man, I wish people thought that about me. I don't know what people think about me, but boy, that would be nice. We need to pray that for each other. That we just exemplify God. We just radiate God in all that we say and do. So how does that come about? Pray that for each other. Pray that for each other. That's what the church is to be about. Next thing it says there is increasing in the knowledge of God. Being fruitful in every good work, then increasing in the knowledge of God. I want to tell you something. Queen of England has never asked me to get to know her better. That bothers me. Over the course of my life, I've known several presidents have come and gone throughout these United States. Some I voted for and some I didn't. Some I was happy about and some I wasn't. Not a one of them have asked me to get to know him better. Not a one. But I want to tell you all this morning, Creator God invites me and you to get to know him better. Isn't that amazing? The one who created everything, the one before whom all of us are going to stand in judgment one day, says, I want to know you more. I made you. Before you were even formed, I knew you, and I've created a plan for your life. And at the end of it, you're going to stand before me in judgment. And he wants to know you. He wants to spend time with you. What an incredible thing. And so we need to pray for each other that they will spend that time and enjoy that time, and that time will be fruitful, increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might. That word strengthened is power. Dunamis, dynamite. That they would be strengthened, not just lifting weights kind of power. That gives you some strength. But God's kind of strength. Lifted up even when they don't feel like being lifted up. Power, not man's kind of power, but God's kind of power. We need to pray that for each other. If God be for us, who in the world can be against us? Nobody. We need to pray that for each other. Why? It says, with all patience and long suffering with joy. Listen, life is tough. Anybody right now going through a struggle right now? Probably a bunch of us. Anybody just come through one? Probably a bunch of us. And if you're not going through a struggle right now, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. You're probably about to go through one. You need to pray for that person because it's coming around the corner. Life is not easy. But here's the thing. If life were all peaches and cream and it were all simple, we would never appreciate the good times. It's the bad times, it's the tough times that give us strength. It's the tough times that give us character. And it's the tough times that make us really enjoy what we have. We've got to be content with where we are. And we've got to learn and grow through those tough times. And these verses tell us that God is the one who's getting us through. We've got to lean on Him. And we've got to learn from those times, but pray for one another that God will give us patience and long-suffering with joy. Listen, you don't have to be grateful for the trial. God never says that. You don't have to say, I lost my job, yay! I got cancer, yay! That's never what God says. But we can be grateful because even in the midst of the worst of these things, God is still on His throne. God is never in heaven going, oh no, I didn't see that coming. God never does that. He's always aware and He's always in control even when I'm not. And I can trust even when I can't see why or how or what's coming. Trust, patience, and long-suffering. We have to have patience with circumstances, because circumstances can be tough. And we have to have long suffering with people, because there are difficult people in this world. Anybody here ever met one? If you haven't met one, you probably are one. I didn't say that out loud, did I? We have to have patience. We have to have long suffering. And God gives us strength with both. Finally, we are to show gratitude, thankfulness. Above all else, Christians are to be grateful. Why? Because God's given us everything. We need to understand that what we have is because of who He is. And because God, one day we're going to be with Him. And we're going to have everything. Right now, what we have is a gift of His. And we can be strong and grateful because of what He has already done. Listen, we have Jesus. That's all we need. Even if He had never given us anything else, that's more than enough. He loved the world so much that He was willing to give His Son. God didn't have to give us Jesus. God could have looked down and going, man, what have y'all done? Y'all blew it. I gave you everything and you messed everything up. Sorry. But He did it. God loved us so much. From the very beginning, He was already willing. He knew when He created it was going to go to pot. But He sent Jesus anyway. And He loved you that much. Listen, when He sent Jesus, you had already messed up. And He knew you were going to mess up more. And He loved you enough to send Him anyway. What an incredible God. He took all of your wrath, all of your confusion, all of your anger, all of your hurt and pain, and everything that wraps up to make your heart so dirty. He loved you enough to send Jesus anyway. How many times would we have turned our backs on ourselves? God loved you enough not to do that. So above all else, we ought to be thankful, grateful, amazingly grateful people. So this morning, did some names pop into your head? Here's who I need to be praying for. Number one, man, I wish somebody was praying that for me. Number two, what I ought to be doing is praying more and praying better for my church. Praying better for my family. Not just God heal their hurts. We should do that. But boy, praying better on a daily basis for their day-to-day life. Praying that their life would be stronger, that they might know His will, and that they might be strengthened with all might. Let's pray that for each other. Think of a handful of names, and for the next week, the next month, pray that for these people on your list. Would you pray with me? Father, I ask right now that You would give us hope and encouragement and also challenge that we might pray specifically for these people You put on our list, that we might just go through these verses and pray these things for these people that, Lord, they might be lifted and strengthened and encouraged. God, that You might do something even greater in our family and in our church family. God, would You do something amazing, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you now to stand. I want to invite Mr. Probst. He'll be